This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I want to know who motherfucking representing it here tonight. Hold on.
Explain myself.
Murder on the beat.
Taking a mirror. HeadGum. If I were you.
Everybody get your motherfucking crowd applause. I know shorty and she doesn't want a koi song. See the cheese last year, life goes on. I've been listening to these two Jews in so long. You need advice, why don't you ask these bros? It's a podcast, you don't need no cable. It's not hard, girl, you just need your iPhone. Let Jake tell you why you suck in a microphone. With your iPhone, gotta hit the podcast. With your iPhone, gonna put you on blast. And they going long, but it's alright. Yeah, the show is long, but it's alright.
Alright,
I got a long drive.
Hey. Whoa.
Very nice.
A Nice For What remix by Creme Brulee.
Good rap name.
Yeah, it's like a
Fiery
nice,
Sugar.
That's right. Not unlike HeadGum, Fiery Sugar.
Why is that?
Just because, like, head, of course, is a fiery, passionate part of your body.
No,
and then
it's not.
Sugar, gum. Obviously, that's
that one works.
That one's obvious.
Yeah, the first, like, one less so.
I don't even have to explain.
The first one is so unobvious that it might be wrong.
It's so clear to me that gum and sugar is like the same thing. That, like, it's a waste of time to even clarify that.
Well, you were wrong, so we don't have to clarify anything.
His Twitter, IG, and SoundCloud are all Creme Brulee PDX.
Nice.
I guess he's a Portlandian.
That makes sense.
I have songs on all music services, and please ask fans to check out my podcast, Adolescens. It's a good name, too, on the Apple Podcast app.
Good shit.
Adolescens.
Welcome back to America, Blumenfeld.
Oh, yes. We have returned from our voyage abroad. We were in Iceland. We were in Ireland. We were in Amsterdam. We were in London. We
and of
were
course,
in Portugal.
Yes, Lisbon. And don't forget the day we were in Bruges.
Yes, we spent an hour in Bruges, watching in Bruges.
Technically, we were in Brussels and not near Bruges.
Oh. I watched the wrong movie then.
Of course.
You think anybody's ever taken a trip to the exact order of countries we did?
I don't know. It was pretty random.
Yeah, a trip from Iceland to Amsterdam.
That's
to
normal.
London.
I think that's normal so far.
Iceland, Amsterdam, London.
Yeah.
And then to throw in Portugal and Dublin.
Yeah, it's that last little hiccup.
Yeah.
Like dipping into Lisbon, then shooting back up to Dublin before.
Yeah, nobody would do London, Portugal, Dublin. That's
right.
Not a...
It makes way more sense to do London, Dublin.
Yeah, because you're already in the UK.
Right. Or like Amsterdam. Yeah. I guess I feel like the cheaper flights are usually from London home, though.
Right. Like, so you want to end in London.
Yeah.
Not us. Oh, no,
we
not us.
We don't give a fuck.
Well, we had the shows to dictate our
schedule.
Oh,
yeah, schedule. We did give a fuck.
So we had the Amsterdam show on Monday, which was great. It was very fun to be in a new city, doing a show for new fans for once.
For one time.
Beautiful place, of course. ate delicious food. Then we had an awesome show that Wednesday in London.
Yes, we did. We took a lovely train ride that morning.
Yeah, that was a 6-hour train ride. We had to go through passport security in Belgium.
Yeah.
The train went from Amsterdam through Belgium, and then at Belgium you get off, and then to get into London they look at your passport.
It feels almost like a dream that we were ever even there, wandering around the Brussels train station trying to get onto a train to get to London,
trying to find a thing to eat. And then we did a Wednesday show in London, which was great. Obviously,
of course,
fans were the best, as they always are. Then we had 3 days to kill until our show in Dublin, so we hop a quick flight to Lisbon.
Real quick, 2.5 hours.
Which we had never been to.
Right.
But you had a friend there.
My friend Eddie Gaga from high school.
We didn't know what to expect.
No, we had no idea.
I don't know if it was going to be like Barcelona, a new modern city on a beach. Is it going to be like Jerusalem, an ancient city that, you know, has a lot of character?
Sort of a little bit like both.
Yeah, it had really hilly vibes. There was a Golden Gate Bridge replica there, it seemed.
So sort of like San Francisco meets Rome.
Yeah, it was just ancient buildings and then also a port and then also beaches and then also there was a Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
I didn't look up to see why there was an identical Golden Gate Bridge, a giant red double-arched bridge.
Didn't Eddie say it was the same guy did both of them?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if that's true. We didn't question it.
Yeah, it's like he did one, and then they asked him to do another one, and he's like, yeah, I have a new plan for you.
Hey, you're awesome at bridges. Will you make one for us? Yeah. Wait till you see what I come up with.
Shit.
It's a big red bridge.
It's the same fucking color and everything. I wonder which one came first. We'll never know, unfortunately. And then a great show in Dublin. That was a great show as well for a Sunday night. People turned up.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then we went to Coppers.
We had to go to Coppers.
We had joked about it enough that we actually ended up going to Coppers.
I guess it's like one of Europe's most famous dance bars.
Is it really?
And then within Dublin, it's like almost the only famous dance bar the entire city goes to.
Is that true?
Yeah, it won some award for like Europe's best something or other.
Wow. And so many people hate on it.
I know, because it's like, I guess it's like McDonald's. It's fun to hate on like the number one.
Right, but then you find yourself there at midnight and it is fucking good.
Well, like two years ago we went there, we were in Florida, how busy it was on a Friday and Saturday. Long line, multiple floors, densely packed, couldn't even breathe.
So it's perfect on a Sunday.
Yeah, we went on a Sunday and it seemed like the most popular bar in LA. That's the equivalent.
Yeah, yeah. So, but like to Coppers, that was a slow night.
Yeah.
But to us, it was like perfectly busy, I think.
Right.
You could like kind of walk across the dance floor.
And we left quote-unquote early at like 1:30 in the morning on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, it's hard to find something that's that popping, and even in a popping city, 1:30 in the morning on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But Coppers brought the heat.
They really did.
And we sort of joked that during the show, like, hey, we'll meet everyone at Coppers. So, like, a lot of people came, and we just hung out with a lot of people at Coppers.
Which was great, because we had been hanging out, just the two of us, basically, actually, in Portugal, we had Eddie.
Yeah.
For roughly the
good part of a decade.
Yes, that's true. But it was fun to hang out with fans.
Coppers, by the way, I guess is the local nickname for something called Copperface Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one question on Google when I searched Copperface Jacks, it has 837 reviews. The most frequently asked question is it just farmers that go there? Which I didn't know was a thing that happened, but I guess a lot of farmers go there.
Interesting.
Well, we didn't see any farmers. Yeah. Or maybe there were none
that were outwardly farmers. Nobody was wearing overalls and a straw hat.
I'm actually looking at pictures of it. There's a fucking banquet room there. Like, you can eat at Coppers.
It's huge. I mean, it's like 3 stories, and we only were on the first floor in the basement ever.
Yeah, look at this. There's like a whole living room set up upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on up there when we were there?
We didn't end up going to the banquet. Maybe it was closed.
I should have my bar mitzvah there or something.
Wasn't your bar mitzvah like 20 years ago?
Well, yeah, but you can have another one.
All right.
I want to become a man again. There's a fucking buffet at Coppers. We could have had brunch at Coppers.
Why did we go out to dinner?
We could have just eaten at Coppers.
Why did we even do it? Maybe we could do a show at Coppers.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
That'd be so dope.
So then they're already
Dublin
at Coppers.
Dublin, we're coming back.
All right, but we are back in America. It's so nice to be back in a place where people speak my language, but like...
They spoke your language in Dublin.
Yeah, but it felt like they were struggling to learn the language.
Like literally everybody in Amsterdam spoke English.
I know, but they had a fucking, what's it called?
Accent.
Yeah, an accent. Like, what is that? Like, don't say, oh, do you want anything to eat? Like, say, do you want anything to eat?
You're going
to
critique people's accents?
Yeah, because, like, they speak.
You understood them.
Yeah, I understood them because, like, the onus is on me to fucking translate.
You're a xenophobe.
Huh? What is that?
I don't know.
I don't know what words are. I just know how to talk good. That's the difference. No, it did felt like every place felt like not too foreign. Even Iceland, everybody speaks very English very well.
The only word I learned on the entire trip was obrigado.
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 Which is how you say thank you in Portuguese.
Yes.
I also learned that Brazilian Portuguese and Portugal Portuguese are two very different Portugueses. Your buddy compared it to like dropping someone from Scotland into Staten Island. That's how different their English is.
Yeah.
It's like the same language, but
you can understand each other, but right. The accents are just like crazy.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us.
Yeah.
Since we went through so many questions for our live shows, I figured, why don't we get some quick hits from the twits? Tweeted, do you have any quick questions for us to answer on our lightning round Twitter episode of our show?
Yep.
We have over 100 questions so far. Holy shit.
Wow.
Are you reading? Do you have any good ones?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
What were your favorite cartoons growing up?
Oh, who said that?
Strunk Cartoons.
Oh, that's the guy that makes our cartoons.
Yeah, that makes sense that he's curious about cartoons.
Good shout out. He just made an awesome one with my turning my moon and what was it, barn?
Oh, yeah. The house with the garage and mouse.
A garage musical. He animated it.
The clicker's the bad guy.
We put it on our Facebook.
And the
moon's
the love interest.
I'll put it on ifireyoushow.com so you guys can watch it. It's really funny. Favorite cartoons growing up? I watched a lot of cartoons growing up. Like, after you come home in the afternoon and it's DuckTales, Rescue Rangers, Goof Troop, like those Disney cartoons, after school style.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Then Saturday morning, we got Nick, we got Doug, we got Rugrats, we got Ren and Stimpy.
Those are all you watched?
Yeah, I watched them all. Then, like, growing up, then there's, like, primetime cartoons. We got Simpsons, we got South Park, we got Family Guy to some extent.
Oh wow, yeah, I watched all of the. I think I grew up loving the Simpsons. That was like the family show. That was what we watched with the family show. Family.
But did you watch like cartoons as a kid, like Saturday morning cartoons, like Casper?
Yeah, I remember when I was little, I watched like all Looney Tunes.
Oh yeah, then there's all that stuff, Looney Tunes,
and then. There was like this James Bond cartoon that I was really into. Oh, Scooby-Doo too. The James Bond cartoon was the shit though. I used to watch that before school.
Is that like the, does it kind of like the Batman cartoon?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, Animaniacs?
I never watched Animaniacs.
Tiny Toons, did you watch that?
No.
Those are really funny.
I know, I never got into it.
Probably too smart for you.
I was
a little too cerebral for Jake.
What about Doug? I was binging the Doug, dude.
I binged Doug.
Banging on a trash can, drumming on a street light.
Yeah, I can see you're wearing a Beats shirt right now.
Oh, I love the Beats. Doug's probably the GOAT cartoon, I think.
Really?
I think Doug is the greatest cartoon of all time.
What was the appeal of Doug? It was just this lost kind of adolescent.
Skeeter.
Patty fucking mayonnaise.
Yeah.
The Lamar Bone,
they're
Roger
all great.
Klotz,
Mr. Dink, very expensive.
Did you used to watch Ren and Stimpy? That one
I did.
Like,
yeah,
really
I was big into
up.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah,
Pepper Ann. It was a Pepper Ann boy.
Yeah,
Pepper Ann. Way too cool for seventh grade.
What about Hey Arnold? Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I loved Hey Arnold.
Yeah, I mean, never watched Hey
cartoon.
Arnold.
I was just so into cartoons.
Yeah,
kids don't. Do they have cartoons anymore?
Yes, they do.
They
probably just don't watch them because they're made for children now.
But like, they're not all. I don't know. I just feel like there's like. I guess SpongeBob's.
SpongeBob was a little. I was a little too old, and then like Ed, and Eddie was like another one that I didn't watch, or Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, when I was in college, I shifted to Family Guy, and I guess that was the last cartoon I ever watched.
Yeah, it's hard to go back. Duckman. Did you ever watch that?
Is that Darkwing Duck? Is that the same?
No, Darkwing Duck is like a Disney show. Duckman was like Jason Alexander. It was kind of a fucked up like cartoon for adults
on
USA.
Saw that.
All right. We gotta get, this is lightning round, we're fucking taking forever.
I love talking about cartoons, though.
Okay, what else we got?
You should do a cartoon podcast.
Oh.
There's so many cartoons.
There is a lot of cartoons. Yeah, an animated podcast about animation.
Yeah.
All right, we'll think about it.
Okay.
Here's a popular question we get, which is also a question we got on the road a lot. This one is specifically is from Ajax Tweet. Amir, do you ever plan on going on not another D&D podcast?
I had that tweet ready to go for my next question, actually.
I know. People love it. I'm afraid there's so much pressure on it. What if I'm not good at it?
I like that we're going from, haha, I'll never do it, and haha, I'll never let Amir be on it, to like, maybe you should be on it.
I just have to think of a character.
Yeah, I think you should come on it.
But like, where does your thing take place? Is it in a planet Earth at a specific time? Or is it like a magical place in the future or past?
Yeah, it's that. It's more like, you know, Middle Earth. It's like a realm called Bohemia.
Right.
But it's like Earth-like.
Yeah.
There's just like monsters, dragons.
Yeah.
It's like a fantasy.
Right. But fantasy, I would be a human, or I could be like a talking chipmunk or something.
You could be some version of a talking chipmunk. We'd have to like ask Murph what kind of like animal people there are. There might be I know there's like cat people. There's like lizard people. Right. Maybe there's a chipmunk.
All right, we'll think about it. Whenever you need a really big episode, I'll make my debut. And then I want to die. I want to die off of it.
Oh, you could definitely. I mean, we played with Nathan, and we played with Nathan Yaffe and Adam
Conover.
Yeah, Adam Conover, and they both survived, but they almost. Actually, Adam didn't really almost die. Nathan really almost died in his episode. We could probably kill you.
Yeah, I want to die. What's better? Here's a travel question from Offshore Eric. What's better, checking a bag or carrying on a small suitcase?
Oh, this is actually a great question because I think about how to travel with my luggage all the time. You guys remember my Twinnovation episode where I came up with the best idea of all time.
Which is shipping luggage to you beforehand. So you don't have to check it in.
Yeah. It's basically checking your luggage a day before you fly and then having to be there when you arrive.
Having had the flight.
And that sort of, and that is like, I think that exists somewhere. It exists like in Japan on their, they do that on like their trains.
Yeah, and they're about 70 years ahead. So what can we do now? What was your recent innovation?
I got the Osprey Farpoint 55, I think.
Now, is this your unsolicited advice because you liked it, or are you still on the fence about it?
I liked it. I think I didn't.
It was an enormous backpack
In
which you can zip up an even smaller backpack onto.
So you have like a big backpacking backpack,
yeah.
And then like oftentimes you have a big backpacking backpack, and then like what do you do with like your small carry-on items? You like have to find a little bag. You got to find like a day pack somewhere. This thing had a day pack that you could zip onto and attach to the big backpacking backpack.
But it was like still like as heavy as a carry-on.
Oh yeah, it's huge and it's strapped to your back. But the thing, I liked it because I liked having both hands whenever we were running around. Like I could always easily go buy a coffee.
Right. You don't have to
like show my passport. I have to like drop
that.
Yeah. I think what was tough is that like because of all of the different things we did on our trip, it's like it's not ideal for a very, very like big variety of trip where you need to have like three pairs of shoes in this thing.
Oh, I see. So you're saying it was too heavy?
It was too heavy at some points. I gave one pair of shoes to my brother when we left Iceland.
Right.
And then it was good for a few days, but then we like acquired more stuff along the road.
And so let's say you're going to New York for a week.
I would definitely take this. If I was going to New York for a week and I could wear one pair of sneakers on the plane, put another pair of Vans in the back, and if it's like nice weather, I don't have to bring a big jacket.
It's good if you don't have to get on and off multiple airplanes and you don't have to get put it on and off and then pack too much because it's too heavy.
Right. I think the big thing was just like when it was hard to close, it was a little hard to zip up the smaller backpack onto the thing.
Yeah.
It was pretty bulbous.
Uh-huh.
But if you can keep it compact, I think it's the GOAT travel accessory.
Did it
and now, like, it was a learning curve. Now that I know what I'm doing, I'll be able to travel a little bit better.
Did it feel like exercise, like putting it on and taking it off?
I guess it, yeah, a little bit, but like in a good way. Like I liked
feeling strong.
Yeah, feeling lean, light, like that I could travel forever. What's your travel?
I hate checking bag. I really like, I think the GOAT travel situation is you got the carry-on and then they tell you it's full, so then you still check it. You don't have to put it up in the overhand because that's sort of the hardest part. It's like when it's crowded, putting it up, taking it off. So if you can get to the airplane and they're like, actually, we're going to check that for you. Great. I brought it onto the airplane. Then I could forget it and pick it up. But I even on this like 2-week trip, I put it all into a carry-on.
Yeah, I'm big on a carry-on. But I like flying, I like traveling with a carry-on, but checking it. There's just something nice about like not having to worry about wheeling some shit around all the time.
Yeah, it is kind of annoying when you're like trying to buy something or like hold something and then you have to have one arm on your thing, one with a backpack, one with a fucking sandwich, two bottles of water.
And then it's the anxiety of like needing to get onto the plane as soon as possible because all of the overhead will be taken.
Right, but then at that point, again, the GOAT travel, they check it for you.
Right. I guess
free
the worst
of charge.
The worst thing is they let you on and there is no space for your bag in any of the overhead except for at the very, very back of the plane.
Yeah.
You have to like wiggle through everybody and then like come back towards the front for your seat. Everybody's mad at you. You sit down and then like when it's time to get, yeah, that's the worst.
When you people avoid- are getting on and off an airplane, that's when like all manners go out the window. Like nobody's waiting for somebody else. If there's a stream of people going down the aisle and I'm like waiting to like cut in, it's like, no, they are fucking laser focused on the door.
Yeah, they
I'm
will
walking.
Trample your body. It doesn't matter.
You can't get in. Do you have a question?
Sure. Seuss. Seuss 5. Must have got that early.
Whoa. Yeah. That's a really fucking good name.
Seuss 5 says, going to Vegas this summer. How can I get my nerd ass friends to have fun there?
Oh, shit. I guess it depends on what kind of nerd ass they are. Are they math nerds that you can play roulette with? Are they sports nerds that you can gamble on sports with? Are they porn nerds that you can go to a strip club? Are they food nerds that you can eat a buffet with? Are they massage nerds? You can get a fucking spa.
Are you on like a Visit Vegas?
No, I'm just thinking about it a lot. There's a bunch of ways to do Vegas. That's why I love it so much. Because
you do love Vegas.
I love it so much because you could do it one way with one person, another way with a different person. You could spend the entire day in a sports book. You can spend the entire day at a pool fucking rave or do whatever the hell you want. There's a lot of ways to do it. My advice is to only go for 2 nights though. You don't want to spend that third night in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's when it starts to get really hard.
I think one of my favorite things to do in Vegas is to like spend the day at a pool and then like take a really luxurious shower and then go to a very fancy dinner.
Oh, like a fucking steakhouse with Kobe beef.
I sort of
and
always
it costs $114.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose $200 to $300 tonight. So instead of doing that, I will spend it on a really extravagant dinner.
Yeah.
And then I go and I lose $200 after that anyway.
Gabrus has a good tradition. He says when he goes to Vegas, he gets all of his friends to like put like $100 on a single roulette spin. So if it's like 10 of them, they each put in $100. They put $1,000 on a color of roulette. If it hits, they eat dinner for free at a really awesome place. And if it doesn't hit, then they go to In-N-Out and they have an awesome time anyway. So it feels like a win-win situation.
That's really, yeah, that's awesome. That's very cool. I want to go to Vegas with Gabrus.
Yeah. Fuck it, I'll pay for the In-N-Out.
You could also get drunk for very, very cheap or free. Like you can buy alcohol on the way to Vegas or in the airport or whatever and then like get drunk. There's no like open container laws.
Yeah.
You can just walk around with alcohol so you don't need to like go and buy drinks at a bar. And then also while you're gambling, you get free drinks.
God, it's so fun.
So just try not to spend money on alcohol.
It's such an exciting drive or flight. Everyone's having a really awesome time on the way to Vegas.
Yeah, but the worst is leaving Vegas. Everybody's having you're having the worst time ever on the way back from Vegas. Just sitting in traffic with, it's super hot. Everybody lost money.
Of course. Well, that's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
I guess we should go to Vegas. Maybe when Skeets goes to Vegas.
That's next week. He's fucking, they're going for Summer League and we're going to be at fucking Sarah's wedding like a bunch of idiots.
That's not,
This sucks.
That's going to be a great wedding. Oh, my God.
I guess I'll try to fucking gamble on the vows. Give me a fucking over-under for how many times Carnell's cries. Do you have one last one we could do before break?
Yes. Aaron Stein says, what is the best country you have visited? And his Twitter handle is the Icelandica. So I wonder if he's from Iceland.
Favorite country on this trip?
Maybe. I think all time.
Oh, God. It's too hard. I really like... I liked Amsterdam on this trip a lot. It was very, like, beautiful, but also fun.
Yeah.
It had a good,
it was
mix
of... sleek, modern, had a lot of history, but also, like, big wide streets, canals. It was super pretty.
Yeah, cool new things to do.
Yeah.
So I'll go Holland just for the novelty factor. Or, sorry, the Netherlands.
The Netherlands. Netherlands.
What about you?
Canada.
Whoa.
Just kidding. Fuck those guys. Trudeau is weak and dishonest. Favorite country I ever visited?
I forget it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
No, Iceland.
Iceland?
That's why I've gone back so many times.
Three times.
Trice.
Here's just a little sister question, since it's related and we can do this before break, is heart-shaped box writes, least favorite city.
Ooh. Least favorite city.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, like in America?
Sure.
It is hard. There's like something about Boston.
Yeah. Fuck it. It is hard because there's so... Actually, fucking Boston has no redeemable fact.
Yeah, no, Boston sucks.
I don't like Washington, D.C. as a city.
Oh, I like D.C.
The weather is usually bad and it's very spread out and just a lot of people who are immersed in politics, and that gets draining. And then it feels like more like a series of museums and monuments than an actual city.
I like the big, like the openness of Washington. It feels like a city that's like stretched out real, like pretty wide because you have all the monuments, the museums and stuff.
That being said, we'll still do shows there.
For sure.
Oh, don't get me wrong. We'll go anywhere for cash.
Money, money, money.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll try to answer even more questions right after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022.
Mm-hmm. You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly. Right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what? You saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month?
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, quasi-legal,
kind of
dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back.
Hey, yo, yo.
Answering as many Twitter questions as possible. What you got?
Calvin Yeager.
Whom?
Calvin Yeager writes, where's the line that you draw for your beard before you decide to trim it down or shave entirely?
Oh, good question. My line is a little before yours. I don't like it when my mustache hair goes into my mouth when I eat. It feels like a little invasive.
Of the hair.
Yeah. And then,
that's
like,
too much.
There's some points where the hair gets so long that it starts, like, itching my neck. And I'm like, this kind of looks and feels gross. So I usually trim. I've never gone completely shaved.
Yeah. How long has it been since you...
completely shaved?
Or, like, even just, like, you used to just do stubble.
Yeah.
And you've had a beard for, like,
since
years
L.A.,
now?
I think.
That's like, that is crazy to me.
Yeah, I've never gone all the way down.
I just think that, like, you'd want to
see
have
my
the
face.
Feeling again. Not even like to see it, just like, just I do all of the different facial hair because I like feeling different. I like changing it up.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I feel naked without it.
You've had the same haircut and facial hair for 3 straight years.
Yeah, well, different variations of it, but yeah. Like, I went really short last summer, for example. But not like buzzed all the way around. Or I'll go long, but not like past my ears.
Yeah.
So like that's the range.
Like tiny, you're like playing on the margins.
Yeah,
the
and I'll go like short, like trimmed beard and longer beard, but I still always have a beard.
Yeah, when we were in Australia, you had a really long beard.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But you go extreme one way versus the other.
Yeah, I'll go like 6 months beard. And then shave it all off to the skin.
So you go too far and then go too short.
Well, I don't think it's too much of anything. I like it. But I don't really have a line. I guess sometimes I go based on like feeling. If my beard starts to feel like really ratty, I'll just shave it all off.
Yeah.
And then I'll like kind of grow it. And then sometimes I'll be like, oh, I wonder what it'd feel like to have a mustache. And then, like, actually right now, maybe I'll have a mustache tomorrow.
Oh my God.
Why
can
not?
You imagine?
Why
fuck
the fuck
it,
not?
Get a
dude.
Fucking goatee.
What about, where do you shave on your chin?
That's a guesstimate. I just sort of eyeball it. It starts to get pretty straggly as like the hairs get further and further from their friends. So I'll trim it up here.
Yeah, but you don't have like the really neat like jawline.
No,
beard.
I don't. No, yeah, and I keep it lower. I like it to go onto my neck a little bit.
Yeah,
rather than like completely like clean like that.
Sometimes I'll do my neck on like a one or something, so it sort of like blends into the beard.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll use a fucking stick, a sharpened stick, and I'll just scrape the hair away.
Why?
And I'll just scrape the hair away.
That's awful.
Scrape the hair away. Whataburger versus In-N-Out says Grayson Jant.
Ooh, I guess In-N-Out. I don't really know Whataburger.
Yeah, I think it's a Texas thing. We haven't had too much of it.
If they have good fries, then I'll choose Whataburger, actually. Because In-N-Out's fries are fucking garbage.
I guess straight they're out. Healthy?
They're not healthy. Like, no fries are actually healthy.
Yeah, what makes them healthy if they're still deep-fried potatoes?
They're just, like, slightly fresher. They, like, make them using that potato peeler thing, like, that day right there. You can, like, see them making them.
Yeah. So, like, if it's, like, you're sacrificing... Fried. Yeah, you're sacrificing a lot of taste for not a huge... It's not cauliflower.
Right. They're like, oh, these are healthy, and now we're going to put cheese and animal sauce on them.
Yeah, can I get those healthy fries animal style?
Guys, I didn't come to In-N-Out to be healthy. I came to eat good fucking fries.
Here's one that only you can answer from Snowboarder119. Is what's your hot sauce of choice? I need a decent sauce.
Oh, I've got a couple. My new favorite, though, is that it's a Louisiana hot sauce.
It's just called Louisiana.
Do I have
hot
to find it? Wait, hold on. I'll find it. I'll find it. One second.
I just don't understand the appeal of hot sauce. Is it a flavor thing, or is it you just like the burning sensation?
It's a flavor thing. I mean, like, there's like the tangy.
But like, can't you get that without like needing your mouth to burn?
My mouth doesn't burn when I have hot sauce.
Then isn't it not hot sauce then?
No, it is.
But do you like the thing where it's like, this is really spicy? Like, can I get that hot, or do you get like medium?
I'm not like, hey, actively so hot. Like, it. I want something that like makes people usually sweat. Can't stand.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I can do like pretty hot.
So when they're like mild, medium, or spicy, what do you say?
I say spicy, but also that's not like me saying like, try to burn my mouth. Yeah. That's just like. Spicy probably gives me the same feeling that medium gives you.
But like, what if it's like a Thai restaurant and they're like, trust me, you don't want spicy? Are you like, trust me, I do?
It depends on like what that... Because there have been plenty of times where like the spicy, like careful, it's like really spicy. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, then I'll go mild. And then it's like mild is nothing. And then I try the spicy and it's fine.
I see. Have you ever had like, this is too spicy, the meal is ruined?
There have been times when I like accidentally put too much sriracha on something and it's just like sriracha based mush. Let me see if I can find this hot sauce because it is really good.
And for me, nothing beats a glass bottle of that Heinz ketchup. Yeah, it's a little salty.
Glass bottle, eh?
Yeah, you really need to hit that 57. Don't give me any plastic squirters when just the oil comes out for a little bit. Not interested.
Yeah, that'll ruin a meal for me.
Actually, can you imagine a bottle of just the oil? Oops, all oil ketchup.
I could see you eating, like drinking, like finishing a bottle of ketchup and then filling it with water and being like, it's not that gross.
I like a good fucking oil.
Oh, it's actually just called the Louisiana Original Hot Sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that shit is really good. It tastes a little bit like buffalo sauce. It's got the tangy. I like a tangy sauce. Yeah, that's the one.
Jeffrey James writes, what's the best address to have? And we've even had some replies. Somebody suggested 1 Almond Street. Somebody 69 Boink Street.
What about Raven's Nest?
Oh, that's pretty cool. Do you have a best address to have?
I feel like we've talked about this question before, actually. You really just want something that's easy to spell.
Yeah, like 1000 Park Ave.
Yeah.
That's a cool address.
88 Future Street.
Oh, that's really nice.
There's a Future Street in Los Angeles. It seems really cool.
Yeah,
Future Street.
It's hard when it's like 5 digits and then like a quarter or a half. Like 57893¼ McCoymerk.
Right. The worst court. Is when it, or like... East something.
Yeah. You know, it's like, and you got to put the East.
We lived on like North Lafayette. Where yeah, if you didn't put North Lafayette, and Lafayette was 2 words and there was like a Y and 2 T's. And it's just like, come on.
Get off of me.
Don't make me put that into Uber Eats right now.
I want a ham now.
One
please.
Almond is actually a great address because everybody knows Almond and everybody, fucking number one is, it's one of the best numbers of all time.
If not the best. It's definitely
no,
the
eight's
first.
The goat. Eight what? Is the goat.
8 Goat Street.
8 Goat Street. Can you imagine?
Does that
so
sound
goat-y?
Too much like Goatsy, though?
I guess so.
What about 25 Hot Tub Lane?
Love that. Love that.
There's a street in LA called Avocado. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Avocado is nice. That's quaint. That's cute.
There's an Aloha Street.
That's good. But yeah, like you want the swanky address.
Yeah.
One almond makes it sound like you're pulling into a mansion.
Yeah.
Like 54 Avocado Street is like, oh, you live in the back house there. It's a cute little bungalow.
That's nice.
But you don't have a 9-car garage. That's what you've got at 1414 Raven's Nest.
5483 Headache. Hey, Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than I can.
We met the dude that made this song.
That's right. We met Lars.
He came to our Amsterdam show.
He was a fucking cool Norwegian dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, I did unsolicited advice. I did Mom, I'm Coming. I'm like, you are part of our podcast history. And he's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Not interested.
Bye.
Can we get a drink? No. Why'd you come to the show? I didn't.
What? And then I reached for him and he was gone.
I do have some unsolicited advice, actually.
Okay.
Now, you know that we have gotten several free mattresses via this podcast.
Yeah, we don't need to name names, but there have been mattress companies.
We've had more
us...
than one.
Yes.
And in the past few months to maybe a year, my back has slowly started to deteriorate.
Mm, I see that. You have some sort of pasty scoliosis.
Well,
a sponge
I don't
back.
Anymore. But so here's what happened. So I like legitimately was having such bad lower back pain that I didn't know what to do. I was sleeping like on my couch, trying everything, sleeping with a pillow between my knees.
Yeah.
And what I realized was that I just needed a firmer mattress.
Okay.
And we started working with Helix. I took the sleep, like the mattress quiz that sort of just like you tell them about your body type, what you're looking for, if you wake up with pain.
I like a quiz that you can't fail.
Yeah, it's all opinion based.
Yeah, that's like our podcast, The Quiz.
And they recommended a firmer mattress for me. But get this, you can also take the quiz if you sleep with somebody. So Jill took the quiz as well.
Oh, congrats. You guys are sleeping together?
Out of wedlock? You son of a bitch. Jill took the quiz as well. So we have like her side of the mattress is like more accustomed to her. It's a little bit softer.
Same mattress, two
firmness. Mattress. Yeah. So you like the first question on the quiz is which side of the bed do you sleep on?
Oh.
So my side is firmer. And lo and behold, in like a day, my back pain is gone.
Holy shnikes.
And that's straight up, we already got paid for the Helix ads.
Okay.
It's over. This is just my unsolicited advice. If you have back pain, just check out Helix and see like, take the quiz based on like what kind of mattress you've been sleeping on that has fucked your back.
Okay.
Because back pain like just destroys you. I would like leave dirty dishes in the sink and like not do my laundry for a little while because it hurts so much to just like stand up and do shit.
I thought you were just being lazy.
So did Jill.
Yeah. Like actually it really hurts to
but
do
when
the
you,
dishes.
But when you wake up and you don't have any pain, it just like it sets your whole day right.
Nothing beats all, being 100%.
That's all Helix, baby.
But
We
do have a coupon code, I should say.
Oh, all right. We can say that then.
So if you're interested in Helix Sleep, you can go to helixsleep.com/ifiwereyou. You get $125 towards a mattress order.
That's awesome, actually.
Up to $125, I should say. That's helixsleep.com/ifiwereyou for up to $125 off your mattress order. Their mattresses are not that expensive. So that extra discount goes a long way.
And they're better than those other mattresses because they didn't fuck up Zaddy's back.
That's helixsleep.com/ifiwereyou. What else we got? I think we already answered this. What age do you wish you were and why?
Oh, I think we did.
We both said like late 20s or something.
Yeah, 27.
That's the goat age. 27 Age Avenue.
Oh, yeah. Are we answering this right now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Say it again.
No, we already answered.
Great.
Where is LeBron going to play next year? It says T-Kovax-E.
You probably think Los Angeles.
Of course. Why wouldn't he want to play on my favorite team for me?
I guess I hope that he goes to the Rockets.
You hope that he goes to Houston.
I just want to see, like, I understand that him coming to LA would be fun for you.
Yeah.
Because you could like root for LA, but I don't think that they could beat the Warriors.
Correct.
I just want to see somebody beat the Warriors. That's like all I'm rooting for at this point.
Got it. So at that point, you need LeBron and then maybe one other player to join the Rockets.
If it LeBron, Paul George,
Chris Paul, and James Harden.
Could they all play for that team?
Of course not, unless they all took a huge pay cut, which they refused to do.
What about Kawhi?
Kawhi and LeBron can play with each other in San Antonio or perhaps Los Angeles if the Lakers trade for Kawhi.
Why can't they just be like, Kawhi and LeBron just talk to each other and be like, hey, what city would it be fun to live in?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping they do. And they both say LA at the same time and Eskimo kiss and then go to the Clippers.
Who? I don't know. It feels like if the Clippers could do it, doesn't it seem like LeBron would be more interested in like revitalizing, like making a franchise his own? The Lakers are like Shaq's or Kobe's. No, I think he's
more. Yeah, I think he's more interested in like playing for that big name, having the most fans, selling the most jerseys, joining the most storied franchise.
That would happen for the Clippers, though.
No, because the Clippers is like casual fans doesn't know who the Clippers are. It's like the best base. It's like A-Rod playing for the Mets. It wouldn't have happened that way. That's not how it goes.
You are looking at it through Laker-colored glasses for sure.
Yeah.
He would want to join the most storied franchise of all time.
He would.
Yeah, well, that's not an objective opinion.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Even when the Lakers are awful, they have like five times the ratings as Clippers. There's just not a lot of Clippers fans.
Well, does LeBron really care about what team gets the best ratings? Whatever team he goes to would get the best ratings.
I think he does. I think he's a business, man, not a business flan.
But then he could go to the Knicks.
Yes, that's another option. But the Knicks are even more dysfunctional than the Lakers. All right, enough basketball talk. W. Mayfield writes, where's LeBron going?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, just not for basketball, just like for lunch.
Yeah. Like,
I think he's going to go to Chopped today.
He might fucking summer in Miami.
Luke Frott says, things to do in Pistol Waven, New Haven. I hear there's a strong Hurwitz influence in the area.
Really?
That's right, man.
Where would you go? Perfect day in New Haven. You wake up at an Airbnb on 45 Headache Lane.
Oh, very good. And I would go straight to the Starbucks on Chapel and High Street.
That's a really nice box.
It's a good box.
You're getting what? Sous vide egg bites and a cold brew?
I would just get a coffee there, you know? And then there's like an acai, a new acai bowl place right next door to the British Museum downtown.
That's nice.
So very nice.
You're getting a coffee. You're getting the acai.
Then I'd go for a walk around East Rock Park, maybe.
Uh-huh.
To like the Eli Whitney Museum up behind the waterfall. That's nice. Or maybe you take a drive into old H-Town. You go up for a hike on Sleeping Giant. Why not? Sandwich at Rand Mike's, best deli of all time. Or you could go to Henry's on Whitney. Damn. I could, you know what? Just fucking let's go to New Haven together. I'd love to take you around.
You, me, and LeBron starting a new fucking franchise at Hartford.
That's such a good feeling to like be able to take somebody around your hometown, though. You don't ever really get that, do you, Blumenfeld? Because you grew up in the Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could take somebody to the Valley.
Yeah, but it's just like you go into different strip malls and stuff.
Oh, so you're saying because we all already live in L.A., I don't get to take somebody to L.A.?
Yeah, that's not what I was saying. I was sort of saying that Encino sucked, but yeah.
But like we can eat at like the Aroma.
Actually, that was fun. When I first came to LA and we ate at the Aroma, it was a good time.
There's a Starbucks there.
But the pizza, you know, you gotta hit the pizza. And I feel like that you can go to Bar for the mashed potato and bacon pizza. Great pizza.
This is for nighttime.
Yeah, you can go to Frank Pepe's. You can go to Sally's. But I am a Delania man now.
Huh.
Delania. It's low-key the best pizza in New Haven at the moment, I think.
Wow.
It's on State Street. It's
very good. From New Haven love New Haven pizza. They have some sort of fucking weird affinity towards it.
And then since you didn't eat pizza at bar, you can just go to bar to dance and party and rage.
That's cool. What's your go-to current TV show to watch? Says You Be Ultimate Bear. What show are you watching now?
Straight up, dude, I am watching Billions.
How much?
I love Billions.
You know what's cool? A Billions.
I'm a big Billions dude.
Are you obsessed?
It's probably my favorite show.
Is it like an Entourage Ballers type show, or is it like an actual good show?
It's better than Entourage and Ballers, but it's sort of like, it's definitely like hammy and over the top.
Yeah, it's and like very dudes dramatic. Being rich.
Yeah, dudes being rich and like everybody like big balls like coming after each other, like yeah. not taking no shit, vengeance.
Like Jill vindictive. Doesn't like this show.
She loves it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we both love it.
That's nice.
I think what's nice about it is like sometimes at the end of the day, I don't want to watch comedy anymore. It's too much. Too much jokes all day. But then like I was watching things like Game of Thrones and just these like shows that were straight up like torturing people and like all the beheading and death and like that sort of weighs on you a little bit too. But Billions is like the perfect middle ground where it's like sometimes a little funny, but it's usually really dramatic, but nobody really gets murdered ever.
Right.
So it takes the edge off there. You're not ever like, oh no, I hope this person doesn't die. Like the worst thing that ever happens is somebody gets like fired or loses some money.
Yeah.
And they're also rich anyway. That's fine.
I'm binge watching for the first time maybe ever, Atlanta.
You are binge. You never binge.
I never binge. I never watch a random TV show.
Are you in season 2 at the moment?
I watched the entire season on our flight from Dublin to LA. That's 10 episodes.
I watched you do that.
Great show. You're talking about kind of funny, kind of dramatic, a little bit of everything, social commentary, well written, well edited, well directed, well shot.
It's gorgeous.
It looks great, and it's just like a touch silly. It's kind of like Donald Glover's mind. It's like, you know, he has lots of like important things to say, but then also a lot of like funny things. So like there'll be like a really tense moment and then he'll be like eating flaming hot Cheetos. And he's like, what flavor is flaming hot Cheetos? And some guy just like, hot. Stuff like that.
What season are you on right now?
I started the second season, but there's only been 2 seasons.
There's only been 2. All right.
Really easy to get into. All right, let's get a... some quick last ones before we run out of time here.
Lightning.
We did the hot sauce, of course. We did the LeBron question, naturally. Would you rather have a baby with Ben Schwartz or Thomas Middleditch?
Ooh. I think... I'm trying to think about who would be a better dad. They'd both be really good dads.
Yeah, because they're funny and thoughtful.
Yeah, they're both kind
But if you
guys.
Had to choose someone, why don't you choose one person and I'll choose the other?
All right, I'll go with Ben because
he's neurotic. Ben's the man.
Ben's neurotic enough to like really keep a baby alive. You know?
Yeah, that's good. And I would choose Thomas because like he could probably make the baby laugh and do like story time in a
you
very
think
fun
Ben could
inventive.
make a baby laugh and
Ben's
do story
like
time?
Fine and when it comes to like voices and stuff, but Thomas is more of a character actor.
Fair.
Sock sock shoe shoe or sock shoe says Robinson Laurel.
Huh?
You put in sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
Ooh, that's such an interesting question. I think I'd change it up.
Really? I would never have a full shoe on before even putting a sock on the other one. That would never happen to me. I would never have shoe and then barefoot.
Oh, wait, that's probably usually what I do.
You go full shoe and then sock, shoe on the other.
Yeah, my morning routine is I put on pants. I put
one
my
leg
socks
at a time?
In the pocket. I walk out. I toss my socks onto my shoes. And then I go about my routine. I make breakfast. I make coffee. And then before work, I sit down and I put on a sock and then a shoe and then the other sock and then the other shoe.
Are you taking a shower in the morning or are you a nighttime showerer?
Usually a nighttime shower.
So you wake up, just put on clothes, call it a day.
But you know, I actually, this goes into another question that I was going to say. Dylan D writes, what's a non-extravagant purchase you made that's changed your life for the better that you think everyone should have?
Whoa.
It's not a water pick. And this one, this
water
one,
pick. Oh, sorry. Not
can't
a
be
water
pick.
Right.
I was, when I had hurt my feet, I got these like UFOs orthopedic sandals. Or you could do it with Crocs, or you can get like really comfortable slippers.
Uh-huh.
But walking around my house in like my orthopedic, really soft sandals,
yeah,
it's just sublime. And I think that's why I put my shoes on sock then shoe because on my left foot, it's not completely bare against the floor; it's still in my sandal.
Yeah, and you have very plump little feet. Like your feet kind of look like resemble potatoes or something.
I wish. I have the tiny little skinny feet. That's probably why they break all the time.
Yeah, they're bony. Oh, yeah. Let's end this episode by talking about how you fell.
Oh yeah.
You fell when we were walking around Lisbon.
Yeah. And everybody who listens to the show regularly knows that I'm plagued by foot injuries.
Yeah, that's true. So you didn't fall in a way where you trip, stumble, fall. I was walking next to you, and it's as if someone shot you and you collapsed or you fell into an open manhole.
Just went straight down.
Yes. And you were holding a bag, and it just, like, splayed. It split open.
The only thing that I remember is, like, seeing the bag. Like, all of a sudden, I was walking 1 second, and then, like, I twisted my ankle off a curb, and then the bag was at my face. I was like, oh, I'm close to the ground now.
I fell today. You basically rolled your ankle, but instead of putting any weight on it, your body just gave out.
Yeah.
That was kind of like a good defensive tactic. So it's like instead of like landing on your twisted ankle, you fell into the ground.
Yeah. And actually, for the first time, I like should have a hurt ankle or foot, and I don't. It feels okay.
So it's for the first time your weak ankles and feet actually saved you.
Yeah.
Because a stronger man would have tried to tough it out, bounce on his twisted ankle, and made things worse.
Yeah, my ankles are made to be twisted, I guess not really made to be twisted, but as soon as they bend in any direction, I fall down.
you don't fall very often as an adult. It's kind of a rush.
Yeah, that was the first time I've fallen in a very long time.
Yeah, just like on the ground without necessarily wanting to or needing to.
Yeah, I hit my knee.
Was it scary a little bit? Exhilarating a little bit?
It didn't hurt. I guess it was exhilarating, but then there was like the fear of as soon as I popped up, because my ankle didn't feel like normal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, this could, like, the adrenaline could wear off and I will have a sprained ankle. So it was like anxious curiosity. It was like a rush followed by, oh man, is this going to be okay? Is this going to be okay? Sort of like when you start to get a headache and you're like, do I need like a little bit of liquid, or am I getting a debilitating migraine? What's gonna happen?
If this was Atlanta, it would be like that would be a scene and you would collapse, and then it would smash cut to you doing like D&D talking about Hard One Surefoot and his like how thick his feet and calves are.
That is why I named Hard One Surefoot Hard One Surefoot, and that's why I gave him thick ass legs. He's the man I want to be.
All right, that's it. That's our time. Thanks for writing, thanks for tweeting, thanks for emailing your theme songs. We're running low, actually, so if you have any theme song submissions, send them to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Ooh. If we missed it, maybe resend it if we haven't used it yet. But if you've been sitting on a ditty and you've been needing that extra kick in the pants, do that now. Send it to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song was Creme Brulee PDX, remember?
I love that.
The Nice for What parody. And this one is, I believe, someone who came to our Dublin show. Daniel O'Driscoll, a 20-year-old musician from Dublin.
Good man. Thanks for coming.
So thanks, Daniel.
If you did.
And thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll release our London show because that one was a blast.
Oh, yeah.
And a half. Ciao for now.
Peace.
I just had my triple caramel macchiato and actually, you know what? Slit my throat. Can you slit my throat for me?
I'm obviously too much of a pussy to do anything ever again, so I'd like you to do that me that one favor.
Punch me in the eye.
Iced water. It's all free. God, killing yourself in a Starbucks is a sad video.
The saddest eulogy ever.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.